Jema. So this reflection on request on the recent incident in Pahalgam about that terrorist Islamic jihadist asking for the religion and doing the most unspeakable cowardly things and then shooting, killing people. Of course, it's a most cowardly act. It shows the, I won't say strength, but the weakness or lack of character in a population. And when such things happen, it doesn't augur well, because if a group becomes so weak that it tries to eliminate others for its own survival, that means it is on the verge of collapse. Now, people may say logically, how can I say so? Well, if you look at the difference between Christianity, we have to go back and see how things evolve. So religion, like nations, like individuals, like groups, goes through a cycle. So there is an upswing, then there is a plateau, then it starts coming down. And during that phase, it is a possibility either to evolve or degenerate and finish. And this exactly what happened with, actually it has happened with Hinduism also. But Hinduism has a big saving grace of Sanatana Dharma, right from beginning has been many-sided. So while every time a cult or a particular kind of worship, it went down, because of the inbuilt evolutionary principle, it picked up and branched out. So that is something very beautiful. There are many beautiful things about Sanatana Dharma, and I'm never tired of saying that. And that's why, because of its evolutionary capacity to adapt, to assimilate, to change, to evolve, acceptance, embracing the new, not just stuck to the past, keeping to the fundamentals rather than the crust. So that's why Sanatana Dharma has evolved and continues to evolve. Though it is true that it also went through phases where there were, for instance, when Ravan tries to eliminate, even if you see the story of Daksha Prajapati, he tries to eliminate all that is not consistent with his belief system, his rules of life, until Shiva comes and eliminates him. So this is a kind of story that takes place. But Sanatana Dharma has evolved such wonderful mechanisms to grow, branch out with every challenge. Now when we look at Christianity and Islam, these two religions, because we can leave aside for the moment the Jews. Now Christianity and Islam are the two religions which have primarily sprung up outside the soil of India. So Christianity, again we see initial persecution followed by an uprise. So during that uprise, exactly same things were happening. Persecution, even among the Christians. If you are not a Christian follower of the kind that they wanted you to believe, it was just like Shia Sunni, maybe in a little milder version, but so you were killed, you were eliminated, you were outcast from the fold. That's how the Gnostics, the alchemists, they all didn't survive. And eventually what happened, it started declining. This is around 13th century. After that, you see, after the Inquisitions, all this conquest, and it started declining. Now during the phase of decline, it picked up. Picked up how? Reason, rationalist. So today people are Christian by name, but most of them have kind of discarded its belief, and many of them now are ready for launching into a new journey. That's why you'll see the Western world, which is largely a Christian world, easily turns towards Sanatana Dharma, towards Sri Aurobindo, towards new thought, because it has gone past that cycle and is entering into a new phase of evolution. They freely proclaim atheism. They can sing songs about Christ, which is funny, somebody else would regard as blasphemy. And of course, the saving grace of Christian world was that it sprang up from the idea of love and compassion. That was a big saving grace. Now what happens to the Islamic world? It has sprung up from the idea of force, the sword of God, which will eliminate all that is evil. It starts like that, paradoxically. But what is evil? It defines whoever does not believe is evil, and therefore it must be eliminated. So it also goes through the same curve, initial persecution between them. There are a lot of wars, battles, and because of the battle, constant battle at the very origin, even Christianity faced battles. But because of the sense of compassion of Christ, some people, you know, they didn't take that course. But in Islam, from the beginning, there is battle. Battle involves deception. So all these doctrines of Al-Taqiyya and all this came into existence, which some fools are continuing to follow till date. You know, they were rules of battle, because when you are battling, this is how people do. In battle, deception and all this comes into play. But it goes through a initial turbulence, then it begins to rise. It ends up into exactly political Islam, which Christianity became and finished. Got finished. Finished in the sense, now it remains like a toothless tiger or a defanged cobra. So but Islam is right now going through that phase where it has come to the same level where Christianity was few hundred years back, where, you know, killing people, whoever does not believe is a kafir. So what is happening in the process? It is going to decline. It's going to decline because there is an evolutionary current in life. We must not forget, we are Vedantins. We believe that there is a world is not an accident. We believe that there is a tremendous upswing current. That's how Swami Vivekananda started his whole speech, that, you know, there is a great, Shobindo says, mighty law of life. So this world is not an accident. Behind it, there are enormous forces. And if you really look at it, before these enormous forces, what are religions? If you look at the history of Egyptian religion, Roman gods, what has happened? Where are they? Even for that matter, as I said, in India, certain worships, forms of worships have all gone away, which included at one point of time Narbali, if you go back in far back times. So now it's gone to a phase where the decline has begun. And whenever there is a decline, this is how things happen, that there is a last ditch attempt of falsehood to assert itself. Because it cannot assert in any other way, it tries force, by force. But world has changed. It's not Arabia, it is not, we are not living in, 6th century AD or 8th century AD or 11th century when they came to India, what was around that time. The world has changed so much, drastically, dramatically. So, if it refuses to change, it will degenerate and finish, because the evolutionary current will take people over and ride over Islam. So what does it mean? They had a possibility of evolution. The possibility of evolution is given to everyone. So in Islam, there was the concept of Mahdi, the coming, like something like second coming. In Islam, the Sufism had come up. Now, I'm not debating whether all Sufism is good or bad. Always there are mixed things everywhere. But there was in it a spark of evolutionary process. But it has finished it. On top of it, the other great mistake it did was that before Islam, you see, there was some kind of a culture developing around the land of Arabia and all these people. So people carried on that. Now, the hardcore Islam bans music, art, culture, any kind of art form which refines the vital. And then the place of women. So it becomes more and more crude and barbaric. Now, this is going to collapse. It's on the verge. The whole world forces will unite against it. Because the law of life is that it must move forward. Whatever doesn't move forward will disintegrate and die. Even at a human being it applies. If you stop progressing, make sure that death is knocking at the door. How it will come? It will start by knocking your teeth off. And slowly. So, it'll give you blows in its own way. So, the same process Islam is going through, and world forces will unite against it. Now, I don't see its possibility of change like in the Christian world. But more and more people will take to a kind of atheism, but they will not declare it. Many will gravitate towards communism because somehow there is a sympathy between the two. That's a different story altogether. They feel there is an ideological sympathy, but there is nothing like that. It's a whole same black spider holding both of them. And also the dark Christian world is still there. It's taken another route, woke and all these things. It has taken different route. But it is on the implosion. A lot of people are going to leave Islam because the evolutionary process will take over. And whoever doesn't do that will be destroyed, either from within, in fighting, or through the world forces uniting against it. Because this is the stage when the evolutionary current is strong. It's not the stage when the preserving forces are acting. In that time, you can continue you know, the status quo. You can't continue status quo. So this act itself, Pahalgam act, if you see, what is happening? Repeated terrorist attack. They have only, it has only ended up joining, uniting the world. Now people are openly saying, the president of America is saying, the Dutch people, the Denmark president is saying, Italy's prime minister is saying, India has been saying this long back. And whoever is not saying, they know it. They may not say for their own reason. Now Britain, there are portions where Sharia is coming. So, well, if the world doesn't wake up, still it will get more blows, as simple as that. Even India, have we really woken up? What is the point of blaming people? We still want to do Bonhomie with, you know, all kinds of, till a few, months back or years back, we were all doing Eid Mubarak, everything. Why do we have to subscribe to these outdated views of life? That's not the way to form friendship. I am not saying that Muslims should say Holi Mubarak. No, Diwali Mubarak. They are all forms of life which we have to go past. So why do we need to strengthen this way of life, a kind of ideology? And now the world is picking up. This is the first sign. Can we imagine that if world forces unite, dated Islam is going to continue? No. It is going to collapse under its own weight. Yes, there are people who will pay the price. It's a big sacrifice, all those who have. But that's how, when the world yagna takes place, many things enter into it like flies. It's unfortunate, but unfortunate to the human senses. We believe that the cycle goes on. I know of people who remember in their past life the brutalities of Islam, and it impacts them even to date. I am aware of such people. So you come back, and you come back with these states. What happened with Babri Masjid? People say that, well, the brutalities of a Islamic invasion are imprinted in the collective psyche. It's not about an individual. It's about a national psyche, a national memory. And it needs to be neutralized. And this is the age of justice. Before truth comes, justice has its hold. So we can be rest assured, this is, all these events, I'm not saying this is the last one, this is sounding a death knell to Islam. Secondly, it is again and again a grim reminder that we cannot continue with hypocrisy. In our international dealings, in our in-house dealing with people, call a spade a spade. It doesn't matter what people will say, but at the same time, there is no place for hatred and that kind of thing in the consciousness of those who want to really grow into the light and truth. It's a war at an ideological level, and I keep saying this, with which we can stop that. See, basically, this war is being fought in this yuga on the mind much more than on the physical ground. It is being fought. Physical ground always is there. So what is on one side, there is an ideology which is openly speaking of uniformity and exclusivity. This is one kind of ideal. And the world wants unity in diversity. So both these ideologies, what is common about them, Islam and communism, they want unity and uniformity. There is no scope of diversity, dissidence, they want exclusivity. So it was okay at some point of time, but it's not okay at this point of time. And this is the only thing we need to emphasize. We don't need to go into what Quran has written or not written. But the views of Quran as they stand today are inconsistent with a civil world, because it is unity with uniformity and exclusivity. So people have to choose whether they subscribe to this ideology or they subscribe to the ideology of unity and diversity. So each one has to declare it within their consciousness. Rest, we don't have to worry. There are instruments that the Creator has. There are instruments which will emerge, and they will do what they have to do. But within us, we should be very clear whether we subscribe to an extremely regressive worldview where women have no place, where art, culture, all this has no place, where inclusivity have no place, where diversity has no scope, or a worldview which is more progressive, which opens the door to evolution. That's all we need to know. Whether it comes under the name of Islam or communism, it doesn't matter. It's all different sides of one coin. So no worries. It's the divine's world. He's looking after it. But in our heart and mind, we should be very clear which side. There should be no confusion. We don't have to pick up a sword or a flag and go shouting on the road. There are enough people to do that. Not everybody is meant to fight on the road. Unless you are caught in a road fight, then you have to fight. But to each his own battle. Draupadi never entered the war, but she was the power behind the war. So each of us in our thoughts are also fighting a war. And there should be clarity. You see, when the Second World War was taking place, people in the ashram, many of them were with Hitler and his tribe. And they were very happy, even when Subhas Bose went and shook hands. And then at one point, Sri Aurobindo had to say, if you people want me to close the ashram, you can tell me, I will wind it up. Now, none of them were going and fighting for Hitler. But he said, if you continue to think like this, because it adds weight and force in the mental world, that's how the rishis fought battle. Mind is a very powerful instrument. An idea released in the ideal world, it picks up thousands of people and motivates them, galvanizes them. So, the time has come. It's a decisive final battle. That's how I see. This view of Armageddon has been going on in the Christian world. That's because Christianity was fighting Islam. Then they began to shake hands. Now people are realizing that this is a threat to everyone. So, not to worry. We should be very clear within. And that mother has given a message. We should be at peace with that message. In 71, she gave this message. Men, countries, continents. The choice is imperative. Truth or the abyss. That's all. So let us stand by truth. But truth is not something which is full of that hate or anger. No. Truth is always full of delight, full of harmony. Because it's powerful. It's not weak. It doesn't need to put on external marks and come in groups. It is very strong. It knows that no power can touch it. We should live with that assurance of Sri Aurobindo. No power can slay my soul. It lives in thee. Thy presence is my immortality. So we should, who are working towards spiritual evolution, focus on that. Because as many people evolve in that direction, it will create a great force field and a current. Once you are aligned with a evolutionary current, it will pull many people in that direction. By pulling, I am not talking of any kind of conversion or propaganda, that doesn't exist for us. But automatically, like a vacuum, it draws people in. And that is the only thing which will eventually save the world and humanity. Because supposing there is no evolution, you may kill today, you may talk against Islam, you may talk against this, it's endless. So Hindus, Muslims, Sikh, Isai, sabko khani hai evolution ki, ladni hai evolution ki ladai. And everybody has to move in that direction. And the non-believers, doesn't matter. If you don't, you will move toward the abyss. So let us, those of us who are devotees, we have to concentrate on the spiritual evolution that whose doors mother has opened. And we should have our own ideas and be courageous to express it. But we don't have to start gesticulating and becoming, you know, like those political speeches. There are enough politicians in the world to do that. Let us live with this great utterance. Men, countries, continents. The choice is imperative. Truth or the abyss. Once again, Pakistan is moving towards disintegration. We have already spoken of that. China will implode. It will take a few centuries, it may take. Mother has spoken about last time, he said. The world will move towards the unity in diversity, the dream of the divine, which it is meant to realize. Let's do our little bit like a squirrel in Rama's game. Thank you, Jai Ma.